morning, everybody. Good morning, S. How are you?
Sup, sup. All good, thank you.
Good. I'm very happy to hear that. I see you are fresh and full of the joys of spring, or rather, should we say autumn?
Oh, yeah, I had to bring out my my blankie scarf this morning. Made me a little bit depressed.
But you know what? Women are lucky because in winter you can have something like that, and it technically is a blankie. It's like you just carry around a blankie with you. Well, guys can't do that. We can't do that, right? It's not our thing.
Of course you can. One of these
what, a
big
shawl?
Yeah. Why not? Rock it with tracksuit bottoms and some white scones.
No, you can't do that. Not allowed.
Or you could just pretend it's a Lesotho blanket.
I thought about that, but I don't think I'll pass very well for a like Basotho man. So
yeah, it might be appropriation. Yeah.
No, I might get into trouble for that. How was your weekend? What did you do?
Oh, all good. Our house sat, dog sat, fixed a swimming pool, got some sun because Saturday was amazing, sunwise.
Yeah, it was. It was actually a really nice day.
Yeah. So I schwitzed it out while fixing a swimming pool for a few hours, which I find quite therapeutic. I like fixing swimming pools. Must be the lesbian in me.
Yeah, it must be a big lesbian living inside you that you don't know about. Did you empty all the crap out of the filter and out of the weir? Did you clean out the pipes and backwash the pool and all of that shit?
Yeah, so there's a leak. So it's bypassed at the moment with an above ground pipe that was causing some problems. Managed to fix that up and hey presto. Did some work. Caught up. Oh, I started watching Love is Blind Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, that language is just something else. I can't get it. Some of it sounds a bit Dutch or Afrikaans because I'm trying not to read the subtitles.
Yeah.
But, strange.
The Swedes are also very weird people. I mean, that whole Scandinavian thing, it's almost a bit alien. I've always thought that if there are two places on Earth where like aliens could have landed and mixed with humans and we wouldn't have known it, it would be Japan and like Sweden or Norway or, you know.
Yeah.
Very bizarre. Okay, so that's the show where they basically...
They're in different pods. They can't see each other. Then they propose. Yeah. Then they go on like to a trip. I don't know where the Swedes will go. It's usually some kind of island or Mexico for the Americans. And they kind of have a honeymoon together before getting married. Then they go back to Stockholm and...
But they still haven't seen each other.
No, man. On holiday, they see each other.
Okay. But before then, they decide to go on holiday based on not seeing each other.
Yeah. So the first time they see each other is still at the pods, but outside the pods in this long runway where two doors open and they finally reveal to each other. And you can tell some people are highly disappointed.
Yeah. I would be. It would be such a disaster for me because I'm very superficial. You know, I went to this housewarming party. A friend of mine moved into a new place, and it was kind of a combination of his birthday and a housewarming. And he invited all these people. He told us that there was a dress code, and of course, I ignored the dress code. But I got there, and they were like such great looking people. Just everybody there was just, they all dressed really beautifully. There were girls wearing hats. It was like really smart and lovely. I thought, wow, you know?
Yeah.
I like beautiful things and beautiful people and beautiful settings. And as you say, it was a lovely day. Like the ugly stuff really messes everything up, you know? Ugly people, ugly things, ugly clothes, ugly places. Like why do they allow it? They shouldn't, there should be no tolerance for ugly. So if I were in that show, there's no way I'd be able to do it.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of guys who are very superficial and they admit it. So they put those in there, obviously, for entertainment value. But they're all the assholes. That's the thing. Their personalities are shit. Yeah.
Really?
And they're the types of people you wouldn't want to marry.
You see, that's probably a very clever thing from the producer's point of view. They do that on purpose.
Yes, of course. I mean, you have your psychometric testing way before. And they always put in one or two who are kind of just borderline not well upstairs at all. And usually mess around the whole, they mess the whole thing up by double dating and having girlfriends at home and things like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you better enjoy these kinds of shows while they last, because you know people are going to get involved soon from the mental health side of things. They're going to be like, oh no, you can't put these people on because you're exploiting them and you're using their mental illness to make other people entertained and it's wrong. And soon they're going to stop that, I'm telling you.
So that's already happened with Love on the Spectrum, another dating show.
That's about people with autism and stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So these people elect to be on the show. In the first season, there was one girl who didn't seem that autistic on the surface, but she was very autistic, and she wasn't selected for the second show. And she released a video saying, I know you guys have been asking why I'm not on the show, and it's because of too many people in the audience saying I was too normal.
Oh.
So, yeah, everyone knows that they choose people who are quite severely dyslexic, and then they do it all for entertainment value. Everyone knows. Who's signing up, they know.
I mean, you and I are lucky we were in radio, right? I mean, you talk about I've done a bit of TV as well, but mostly radio. And someone in the comments here, Vyasan, I think it is, says, well, lucky you can't see our faces on the show. We might have to leave. I just imagine everyone who's listening to us every morning is just absolutely like 10 out of 10. I really do. I just assume everybody looks fantastic, that they're all dressed to the nines, that they'd walk into a boardroom or a party or onto the deck of a yacht just looking splendid. And, you know, don't spoil my game here by telling me that you're not. I mean, that would really ruin the friendship.
I actually don't. I watch everyone in the comments, and I assume that they're either still horizontal and listening or watching on their phones. They've still got sleep in their eyes. Their hair's all over the place. I see a completely different image.
No, I always assume the best. This is why I'd be useless at that show that you spoke about, because I picture like this gorgeous human being talking to me from behind the curtain, and she's got like, you know, perfect hair and skin and just like magnificent in every way. And then some fucking troglodyte would walk out, and I'd be just horrified and disappointed. Not because, and I've got to say this over and over again, but really, I feel in my mind's eye, I'm very, very good looking. It's only when I look in the mirror and I come face. So the same problem I have for the audience is the same problem I have for me. Like in my head, I think, wow, you really should be, you should be magnificent looking. And I know I'm not, right? I'm realistic, but I should be. And then I think the same of people who are listening. So I'm like, oh, they must be so good looking. And when I see them, I'm like, oh, okay. Normal people. Normal people. You talk about the spectrum. Most of us are somewhere in the middle. So there are people at the extremes who are like drop dead beautiful. And then there are people who are hideous. But most of us are somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I think for me, the fun part is always when the shallow guys, the ones who admit looks are everything, end up having to choose between two girls, and they have no idea what they look like, and they choose the one that's less pretty. Best, because then they get married, not married, they get engaged, and then they meet up with these people who they lost out on.
Oh yeah.
And you see their faces then, they're like, I stuffed up.
All right, well, a couple of things we have to get to this morning. There's quite a lot going on, and we'll get to some news stories too. Leanne's got a couple of things she wants to tell us about the bizarre things she read about this weekend. And we can start off because we've got Dr. Hanan in a short while, so we'll have our mental health checkup for the morning. First things first, though, do I really need that couch? Facebook Marketplace is a playground for criminals, say crime experts, following the death of two brothers. This is absolutely terrifying, okay? I read this story the other day, and I thought, wow, you know, for some crap on Facebook Marketplace, and I remember Lebang used to use this all the time, two brothers were killed tragically in Gebecha. I'm going to say PE. It's not, that's not, no one wants to call it that. No one. Two brothers killed in PE after responding to a Facebook Marketplace ad for TV. Crime experts warn the platform is now unsafe, emphasizing the risks of online transactions. Mm. So we've heard about people being ripped off, right? Where they advertise X, but it turns out to be Y, or it's not as good as they think it is. And, you know, there's such like nonsense online that already you're worried about being catfished. You're worried about someone lying about the product, making stuff up. So you've got to think about those things. But now the big problem is you could actually be killed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like besides the money scams and PayPaling and, you know, transferring of money and then it didn't go through and sending through false proof of payments.
Yeah.
Then there's a safety issue. So when I moved 2 years ago, I sold quite a few things on Facebook Marketplace and Gumtree.
Yes.
So I used both, but both times I was really, really careful. If anything sounded suspicious, I made the meeting point at the Rosebank police station. And as soon as you do that, they're gone.
I'm away. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
so you've got to be careful about meeting, giving people your home address, you know, rather meet maybe at a petrol station, although I hear those are hotspots for crime now as well.
Yeah.
Just meet at a police station, perhaps.
Yeah. Patrick says, everybody here calls it Port Elizabeth, and all the signboards say Port Elizabeth. I've never heard that other name on the ground here. Exactly. But there we go.
It didn't really take off, hey?
So Indy says, and this is an interesting point, I know the story you're referring to. However, who the hell goes to Motherwell to buy a TV? It's a very dangerous area. They could offer me a car for free, and I wouldn't go there. Well, you know, if you go with your brother and you're two, like, healthy, you know, like strong guys, you think you're indefatigable. You think no one's going to be able to take us down. And then they got there, and they were murdered, and there was no TV. It was all bullshit. Mike Ballhase is, of course, the private investigator who's been on TV a lot. He said people should avoid Facebook Marketplace due to all the dangers, stressing the importance of thorough research before transactions. Risks include robbery, violence, scams. Reaction Unit South Africa deals with such cases regularly, cautioning against falling for unrealistically low prices. To enhance safety, meet in secure locations, as Leanne said. She's good at this. Seek opinions before transactions and avoid sharing personal information.
Mm. Yeah, it's rough out there, man. And it's so true. You think, I often think, oh, I'll take my brother with me and I'll be fine. It's not going to help when you're dealing with murderers.
No. Oh, my God, no. No, no, no. Mm-hmm. Then you're putting your brother in the firing line, too. It's not just you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think I'm over that now, that it's just there has to be some other safe way of doing things. Someone will come up with something, right?
Well, I mean, people are so desperate to get a good deal that they'll do stupid stuff. They'll put themselves in a very dangerous position. And, you know, there's nothing you can do. Once you're in that position and you're vulnerable like that, it's like, ooh, this is too late. I'm trying to think where it was that I suddenly thought, okay, this is a while ago. I went somewhere, I met somebody, or I did something, and it was like a transactional thing. And I was suddenly like, Jesus, this is dumb of you. You're like, it was something to do with, I was selling something, I can't remember, but this is like about 2 years ago or something. You know, when you're in this situation and you realize, oh my God, what am I doing here? This is crazy.
Yeah. You get into it easily.
I pulled out of it. I was like, no, this is not going to happen. So I just called and canceled.
Yeah, it happened to a colleague of mine last week on Friday, I believe.
Yeah.
He went to have his car serviced at a BMW dealership because he wanted to sell it. He had a guy who was interested in his car and he was interested in his. So it was going to be a swap, basically, with a bit of a cash handover or whatever. Yeah. So he went to have it serviced as was agreed to. And the guy doing the service said to him, are you selling this car? How much are you selling it for? And I want to buy it.
Yeah.
He then made an arrangement to meet him later on that day to test drive it and do what he wanted to do. And the guy never pitched. So, I mean, at that point, I would have already known. Firstly, he's the guy servicing my car. Do you think he's going to be able to afford a BMW?
No, probably not.
So this colleague of mine then went back to the dealership and said, there was a guy working on my car here. Do you know where he is? The manager came out and said, I'm sorry, I employed that guy 3 weeks ago. He definitely does not have the money to buy your car.
For sure.
So you've just got to, you've got to be savvy about it, really.
I remembered what it was. This was a few years ago, and some guy like sent me an email, and he's like, "Listen, we want to sell you a car. I wasn't selling it; someone else is selling it. But why don't you come through to the dealership and check it out?" And I was like, "Okay, cool," but it was like late on a Saturday or a Sunday. And I suddenly thought, no, this doesn't feel right. And I was on my way there and I canceled. That was the closest I've ever got to like utterly stupid things, you know.
There was a girl this weekend who she took her, the Americans say Mazda. Have you heard?
Mazda.
Yeah.
I'm going to drive my Mazda.
Yeah. I mean, The go-to would be for them to say Mazda, but they say Mazda.
Correct.
Anyway, she has a new Mazda, and it had a crack in the windshield that Mazda said they would repair for her. And there was something else, like her blind spot tracker wasn't working. Ooh. Wasn't alerting her to people being in her blind spot. So they said, no, bring it in, we'll fix it. She took it to the dealership. She then had recently downloaded the Mazda app, and she was in bed at like 9:30 at night and realized that her car was not at the dealership. The doors had been unlocked. She got that notification. Then she tracked it, and it was 120 miles away from the dealership.
Oh, my God.
At a private residence, like in a suburb.
No.
Parked in someone's driveway. So she thought, oh my gosh, it's been stolen from the dealership. So she was going to call the police, but thought, let me just keep checking it. Maybe it's someone from the dealership. Set her alarm for every hour and checked the location. And at 6:30 in the morning, it was back at the dealership. So she went and spoke to them and said, did somebody drive my car to their house last night? They said, yes, no, we do that sometimes. She says, but 120 miles away to test for a crack in the windshield, a tiny crack, and a sensor on the bumper. And they were like, no, but we also were trying to get the engine light to come on. And she called bullshit. And they gaslighted her completely. So, we don't know what happens to our cars. And a quarter tank of petrol was missing from her car as well.
Yeah, so they'd basically driven it away they'd used it.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches.
And the other thing is the person who owns the dealership does allow the guys to take the cars home and test them, but he doesn't want them to do it on his time. So that's why he lets them do it after work.
Well, if it's not on the floor of the dealership, it's not going to sell, is it? No one wants to buy a car they can't see. It's amazing. Like we talk about Facebook Marketplace and all this stuff, right? And Tracy says here, community buy, sell and swap WhatsApp groups, get a lot of annoying messages. But for example, yesterday I sold my boys' old hockey sticks. EFTs are done, boys are delivering the sticks at school. So we've got, who hasn't, a neighborhood WhatsApp group, right? And people will sell all kinds of shit on there. They're like, I've got this freezer. Anybody want it? And then they'll put the price and, you know, people go on and buy it. But I suppose also it's all about the trust that you have in that particular app or those people. And in smaller groups, the smaller it is, the better. That's the way to do it. Mm. Isn't it great though that we can sell things? I mean, when it's not a bullshit scam, it's great though that we can sell these things on these groups. You don't even have to leave your house. You don't have to put it out in the street with a sign on it saying 50 Rand or whatever. Because that's what they used to.
Yeah, that's what we did. We were just, or you'd have to get a table and chair and sit there and wait all day until someone walked past.
Right. I mean, Migs says, Tracy, I'm part of 8 WhatsApp buyers and sellers groups. Sure.
Well, it's just a matter of time until the criminal element gets in there too.
Spot on. Right, where is James? We need to do a little update on the sport over the weekend with Superbets. Check on what went on and what happened there, and he'll give us a little.
Right now.
We're going to talk to Markham Glooley later on. He's going to tell us about the Comics Choice Awards, which happened this past Saturday. He was there, and he knows all the gossip. And also talking about con artists, someone tried to take him for a ride and succeeded. So we'll find out about his stupid thing that happened. So that's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. That's going to be lots of fun. Plus, Leanne has the list of the countries with the worst food. And I'll bet you any amount of money Britain is on there.
Well, just have to see.
Yeah, Britain is definitely on the list. James, what are you doing? Are you stumbling over Leanne's chair and tripping and falling?
There's a little bit of a cord incident.
Jesus.
Just a charger.
That guy was running around the studio this morning like a blue-assed fly trying to figure out how the desk worked. That's why we started late. I'm like, oh my God, I've hired the worst person in the world.
Oh, come on, Gareth.
That's tough.
Your mic's not on.
Your mic's not on. And now you're nowhere near the desk.
It's just a horrible time. What are you telling me today?
Why didn't you use mine?
No. Let him get his microphone working. My God. You know, we've been doing this, 10 years? We still don't know what we're doing. It's ridiculous. And by the way, a little later also, this is going to be lots of fun. South African booties have been rated the biggest. Yeah, that's fine. Now we can hear you. So if you think you have a big booty this morning, if you think your backside is too big, don't feel bad, because apparently that's what we've got in South Africa. It's one of our unique selling points, as they would say in the business world, our USPs. All right, let's get into some sport. Take a look at what's going on. James is ready. He's got a little breakdown of what we may have missed over the weekend. And I saw there was plenty of golf, as Ben spoke about. In fact, it was on in the background. That Masters course looked terrific. I don't know who won, though, so don't ask me. I'm the worst guy to ask about sports results. James is only marginally better, but here he is.
I can answer that question of who won the Masters. It was Scottie Scheffler who won his second Masters. Pretty incredible for him, 11 under par, winning the tournament in the end. And a bunch else happened on the sporting front this weekend. Before we get into it, let's just stick with the golf. Ludwig Åberg came in second at 7 under par. And then noteworthy performances from Max Homa, Tommy Fleetwood, and Colin Morikawa. All there on the leaderboard. All of the top 12 and tied placement athletes all got invites to next year's Masters tournament, which is all obviously great for them. Moving on to the rugby. Sure, what a weekend in the world of rugby. Action-packed quarterfinals as 8 teams were reduced to 4, with Bordeaux Beagles, La Rochelle, the Bulls, and the Exeter Chiefs all falling to defeats. So the results there, Bordeaux Beagles lost 41-42 to the Harlequins, Leinster against La Rochelle. Leinster won there 40-13. Northampton Bulls 59-22. And Toulouse took on Exeter. Toulouse winning that 64-26. That sets up a semi-final for the Investec Champions Cup. Leinster, Northampton on the 4th of May, Toulouse and the Harlequins also on the 6th of May. So as that tournament winds down to a close, another tournament kind of that's winding down to a close and causing me mass stress in my life constantly on a daily basis would be the Premier League. Liverpool played again this weekend. We didn't do what we needed to do 2 weekends in a row. And this is how it kind of played out. So City had played their first game on Saturday, sending them to the top of the log. Good for City fans, wherever they are. They were on top of the log by 2 points after their game on Saturday. Liverpool and Arsenal had to play their games on Sunday. So it was all on them. And they ended up dropping the ball. They lost 1-0 to Crystal Palace. But we still had a little bit of hope in Arsenal and them losing to Aston Villa, which they ended up doing 2-0. The log currently, as it stands, Man City at the top, 73 points. Arsenal in at second with 71, and then Liverpool in also at 71. With about 6-7 games or so to go, it winds down, and Liverpool could miss out on that Premier League trophy that I was so confident about last week. Sticking with the Premier League, just a little bit of a run-in for the last couple of games for those teams at the top. City do have statistically the easiest run-in for those last couple of games. So it's theirs to lose, is essentially what I'm saying. And history hasn't been great to Liverpool in that sense. So we'll see how it goes. 6-7 or so games to go.
James, when you say you're stressing about this, I don't, you know, I've never been a massive sports fan. I mean, I kind of know what's going on, but only just. Are you telling me that you seriously like sit there nail biting? You're nervous. You worry about your team. Yep. You don't want to eat because you're like, oh my God, what if they don't win? Is that for real? You actually get stressed?
All of the above, yes. These, when it gets to this point of the season, it genuinely can have the power to make or break your week and your weekend.
What are you, retarded?
For supporting Liverpool, sometimes I feel it. I'm not going to lie to you. It does feel that way. But yes, I have been told that there are bigger problems in the world than football. Yeah. And I shouldn't stress.
Everybody's talking about being on the brink of World War III with Iran and Israel and all of this stuff. And you're worried about like, oh, they didn't get that goal. Oh, what are we going to do?
It's a thing.
I saw World War III trending on Twitter this past weekend and I scrolled immediately past it and into what was trending for the football. So if that answers your question, that's pretty much my life.
JP says it affects your mood, Gareth. Try to be a United supporter. Traveling Ninja Turtle says, why do people care so much about teams? But I'm kind of, I can see it really affects people. Patrick says Liverpool messed it up. Not over, but it's their fault.
These are all true comments, especially the United supporter one. I mean, you thought I was stressed. You should see how stressed United fans get. It's quite a scene.
A very low IQ team and very low IQ supporters there. Very.
Sure. I mean, I'm not going to argue with that point at all.
What do I know? I don't know anything about soccer, so carry on.
Sticking with the football, Nedbank quarter finals, Sundowns, Chipper, Pirates, and Stellenbosch all through to the semis. With Sundowns squeaking through on penalties, quite a surprise there with Sundowns being the team that they generally are and almost taking Bafana to an AFCON win, which is something I will never forget in my entire life. And then lastly, with the UFC, wow. People are calling it the knockout of the century, a knockout for the ages even. If it's a video you haven't seen, I'd love to play it on the show, but copyright things and stuff. Max Holloway took on Justin Gaethje, and he absolutely, round five's knockout was, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's all over Twitter.
I don't follow a ton of UFC stuff, but it was coming up on my feed like you cannot believe on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday, I think, not Saturday. One of the two. Anyway, it was coming up nonstop. All the reaction, all the guys in the crowd, that kind of, it must be famous now, a picture of the dude knocked out lying on the floor and the other guy kind of standing up celebrating. Very impressive.
I've never in my life, as you're talking about it now, I actually had goosebumps. It was honestly one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen. Dricus was also there representing South Africa. Dricus was doing South Africans proud. Him and Israel Adesanya, who potentially may or may not have a fight coming up in the near future. There was a lot of tension. The cameras cut in between them. It was a whole Hollywood situation. Yeah, there you go. Ricky Lodricus was there in the crowd. But yeah, I think sporting-wise, that was about it. Quite a good sporting weekend, especially if you're a golf fan or a Man City fan. I think a lot happened this weekend. Kept people quite busy.
Well, that's very good, and that's plenty of stuff for you to have placed bets on and won. Potentially, you could have won quite a lot of money. And of course, if you do, there's plenty of tips and tricks that you can learn about by going to the Superbets website. You can also place small bets or big ones. It's totally up to you. Makes a hell of a lot more exciting, I can tell you that. Superbets, of course, also supports responsible gambling. So no under 18s. Winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling toll-free counseling hotline is 0800-006-008. Thank you, James.
Thank you, guys.
There we go. Yes,
I see from Nikita there, in more sports news, Gerda de Steyn broke her own Two Oceans Ultra Record Marathon this weekend. I saw the clip of her in the last couple of meters.
Yeah.
She was just beaming who can do that after a marathon? But she was beaming while she was running the last few meters.
Listen, I know I've got friends who ran in that thing and they love it.
Yeah.
They love it. They're beaming because they actually just love it. Apparently the wind is still blowing down there like a motherfucker though. I mean, Cape Town is really, it's been insane, right? My brother and his family are down there at the moment, and I don't know how much fun they're having because the wind is blowing so much, but I don't know. You go to Cape Town in April, you kind of deserve it. That's what's going to happen. Izzy looked very salty, Mr. Manifestation. Dana White announced McGregor versus Chandler for June. That's all to do with UFC. Mm. Rebellious Ruth says, my cousin did it. I assume that's the Two Oceans. Also did extremely well. So happy. Well done, Ian. Nice. You know what? Respect to those people. Respect to them because I would not run. Only the evil man runneth when nothing is chasing him. I got to read you the facts of a story before we get to Dr. Hanan. This is going to blow your mind. So a friend of mine is a lawyer. He sent this to me. I don't know how much this happens in South Africa, but it is quite scary. So this is, I'm just going to give you the facts of the case. I'm not going to mention any names or anything. Facts. All right. Are you ready, Leanne?
Yeah.
The accused went and stayed with his brother and sister in a shack. Sorry, his brother and sister-in-law in a shack in their yard. Upon arrival, he discovered that another brother, S, who had grown up with him, was very ill. S suffered from a severe bloated stomach and required periodic hospitalization. The condition worsened despite medical treatment. The accused felt helpless and upset, having offered whatever assistance was possible, including financial support, towards treatment and transport. The accused came to believe that his aunt, the deceased, was responsible for S's condition in that she had bewitched him, blaming her for his condition. He then decided to kill the deceased because of what she had done. He assaulted the deceased using a panga-like object to cause her death, striking her several times in the head area.
Jeez.
As reflected in the post-mortem examination, the cause of death was traumatic head injury. Now, what's interesting here is, obviously, this was witchcraft, right? According to this dude, the reason that he had to kill this woman was because she was a witch.
Yeah. So, I mean, for those of us who don't believe in witches and witchcraft and casting spells, I would think that maybe another way she could have been responsible was if she was slowly poisoning him over time. That's more realistic and believable from a scientific standpoint. But
witchcraft. No. So she's gone and he's in jail. Of course, the bad news is that he still gets a vote in the elections. This guy believes in witchcraft and who killed somebody with a panga-like object to the head. This guy still has a vote in our upcoming election. Isn't that great?
It's happening all around us.
Wow. Just blows my mind. And then I found this very important line from the King James Version of the Bible. You know how I'm a biblical scholar, right?
Yes, and because you have one next to your bed, which you read. Of course.
And it says here, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Exodus 22:18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That would be my defense. I would say, listen.
The Bible told me so. Yeah.
No, like you don't get a lot of Christians who say Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. So I could go, I killed a witch. Yes, you know, because the Bible told me so. So I feel like that's a foolproof way of exonerating yourself.
I started watching a documentary. It's I think it's called Unlocked.
Oh,
it's new on Netflix, and it's about this one specific unit at Rikers Prison, this division, where it's mainly people who are, they've just been arrested or they're awaiting trial or they're between court cases. But we're talking murderers, drug possession, drug trafficking, rape. They're hardcore. They're part of gangs.
Lovely people.
Yeah. And this sheriff who has newly taken over the position of like the head honcho of this division has been studying for years the way prisons work in Europe. That's some of the material that he's looked at. And he's all about rehabilitation rather than punishment. So what's happening at this unit of Rikers is because it's so overcrowded, they are in their cells, locked up with their cellmate for 23 hours a day. Jeez. They get one hour out. And that 1 hour is broken up into 15 minutes here and there to eat. So it's not a full hour at once, right?
Wow.
And these men are going crazy behind these bars in the small room for 23 hours a day. And what happens is by the time they're let out and the doors are opened bit by bit to let them eat, they're so wound up. They've had no exercise. They've had no fresh air. They're going nuts. And they just start beating up each other. And, you know, letting out all of their frustrations. So this sheriff has come along and said, I want to change this. So he's started, this is real, it's happened. He started this experiment where he brought them all out. He said, guys, I don't like what's happening here. I want to give you more freedom. I want you guys to show me that you can, you know, live in a society-like situation again. I want you to prove it to me. I'm opening all the doors. 24/7, all the prison doors.
Oh, wow.
And I'm taking away the guards. You need to organize your own feeding times, tray food, dishing up, cleaning up, all of that type of stuff. You make the rules.
Oof.
And immediately, all of the older generation prisoners there, so the gray-haired guys, get together and they're like, we've got to watch this. We're going to see this motherfucking place burn down if we don't take some control.
Right.
And they have this plan and they go around to all the cell doors the night before and they say, I want you to be responsible for this. You to be responsible for that. The young ones, immediately as the doors are opened, there's this division now between young and old. So already where they're supposed to be working together, there's already a division. And the young ones don't want to listen to the older ones. We're not listening to these old folk, blah, blah, blah. So I'm on episode 2 right now. They're 2 hours into the first 24 hours of unlocked doors. And nothing violent has happened yet, but, man, they're out of control. They're all smoking like weird shit, like these you get these toilet paper the twists that they dip in coffee and they smoke them and they're all losing their minds because of this. It's rough, man. It's so rough.
Well, I would do that. I don't care about like hardcore prisoners. I would just open up the doors and let them kill each other. I'd be like, all right, whoever the biggest, ugliest one that kills all the others is, then we'll take him out with a bolt to the head or something. But I this makes me extremely nervous. I just don't like the fringes of society where this kind of shit happens. And there's some dangerous people there, no doubt, right?
Hugely. These people have spent most of their lives in and out of jail. They don't know much different.
Let us turn our attention to Dr. Hanan. It is time for what we do with him on a Monday, which is called It's Going to Be Okay. And he's, of course, a renowned psychologist, head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg. And he's here for us every Monday. Hey, Doc.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Very good.
Hey.
So, Doc, let's just look at this quickly. We're going to delve into some celebrity drama. Jennifer Lopez, apparently she's had weak tour sales, a baffling album movie documentary, and general online mockery. Why does everyone seem to hate Jennifer Lopez so much? What is our obsession with celebrities? Why do we watch these things like an accident happening in front of us? And why do we expect more from celebrities than we do from normal people?
Well, society puts these celebrities or these people that we see on a daily basis on a pedestal, on a hierarchy, on a social hierarchy. We view them as higher than, you know, us and something that we should aspire to and look up to because they've gotten so much attention and so much admiration. So it's the whole numbers thing. How many people follow you on Twitter? How many people follow you on Facebook? How many people follow you on any social media? Those are the people that you want to be around. We want to be around people that are, you know, surrounded by bodyguards at a club or people that are surrounded by hordes of fans at a concert. We want to be around people that, as I said, garner attention and admiration. And we look at these people and we see them as almost godlike. And we expect them to behave. But there's a side to us that wants to see them fail as well, because then it makes them human too. It is almost like an internal gratification when we see someone that we see as absolute godlike make a mistake, falter, shave their hair, get a divorce, you know, scream in the middle of a shopping mall, or scream at their kids, because it makes them human, which makes us feel better about ourselves.
I think, I don't know if Gareth's gone off to shave his head or get divorced. Oh, we can't hear him.
My mic was muted. Sorry.
Oh, there
I was talking to myself. No, you know, we do. We put these people on a pedestal and we expect them to behave better than us, and they don't. And then we're somehow disappointed. That's an us problem, though. That's not a them problem.
That's an us problem, for sure. For sure. Like, first of all, the fact that Jennifer Lopez, you know, has weak cells or strong cells, or whether she's having a fight with her husband or not, that's not your lane. I always tell people that, you know, focus on investing your coins, your energy into things that make your life better. How does knowing that Jennifer has good cells, bad cells, how does it make your life better? How does it make you a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better mother? How does it make you a better worker? How does it make and increase your sense of purpose in life? So invest your time and energy into things that create value. But to your point, yes, it's completely a nice problem. You know, when I see these celebrities doing, I don't know, crazy things, it's crazy by their standards. It's normal human stuff. And the truth is, us mortal humans, we also do crazy things, but it's not caught on camera and not being portrayed on social media. So when I see these celebrities doing these things, I'm always like, well, obvious, because they're human beings.
Okay, but then I've got to ask you another question. Why do we get so involved? Because you say quite rightly, we've got to stay in our lane. It's got nothing to do with us. It's not going to affect our lives in any way. So why is it that ordinary people take such an interest in these celebrities, to the point where they allow themselves to be distracted from their own shortcomings, responsibilities, the stuff that we have to do? Some people I know are more interested in celebrities than they are in their own children.
Definitely. That's quite right. That is quite right. But Gareth, you know, it's a very primitive psychological thing to draw your attention towards the most popular, you know, guy or girl in the room. If you walk into a club and, you know, somebody whispers in your ear, there's Beyonce, you are suddenly going to leave your friends. You suddenly don't care about, you know, the person that you were talking to, and your attention is going to go towards the, you know, Beyonce, because she's the most popular girl in the room, or whoever you admire, whoever your mentor is, or whoever you look up to, whoever is the highest on the social hierarchy scale for you. So we as human beings, and by the way, why do we do that? Because it ensures our survival. When we attach ourselves to people of higher hierarchy, of high importance, we are more likely to survive and feel protected. When we attach ourselves to people of lower social control, social hierarchy, we are not going to be protected by them, because they don't possess the same power, the same leverage, the same weaponry, the same defense systems as the people that have much more power, much more money, much more influence. And that's why we naturally gravitate our attention towards those.
Yeah, well, those people aren't going to protect and give you power. That's the whole problem, though. They don't even know you exist.
Completely. 100%. But that's where social media kind of like stuffed it all up, because you're quite right. While we think that if we just gravitate and get the likes from these individuals, we are going to be much more popular. We're going to kind of move up the ranks on the social hierarchy. But social media completely messes it up, because we get these likes and we get these thumbs up and we get these loves and we get these, you know, whatever we get, and we think it's real. We think that means we're moving up the social hierarchy. Meanwhile, it's all gibberish. It's all nonsense stuff.
So, all right, one last thing here. Some of these people are actually terrible examples of how to behave. I mean, J-Lo, for example, really doesn't know how to behave. She's got a bit of an attitude about herself. She doesn't seem very likable. She surrounds herself with sycophants and people who tell her how great she is all day in and day out. She doesn't seem to have any checks and balances on her own bad behavior. And I'm not going at Jennifer Lopez. She just happens to have been in the news last week. And there's this
huge outpouring of real dislike for her. But despite that, she still seems to think everybody loves her. So if you are famous and you are important, in inverted commas, in the world, how do you maintain a grounded approach? How do you, if you are someone who, let's say you're the boss in your company, or you're the most popular kid at school, or whatever else, how do you make sure that you don't get to a point where you become such a pain in the ass that everyone hates you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I'll introduce you to a concept that I use in my world, and I teach my patients on a daily basis. I'll build some context. My brother's a pilot, and my brother shared this with me. Pilots never trust their feelings when they fly. And the reason why they don't trust their feelings is because feelings lie to us all day long. Feelings are lies. We've discussed this many, many times. Feelings are pathological lies. And when in midair, at that kind of altitude, when your body's telling you gravitating right, you could in reality be gravitating left. And when your body's telling you you're steady, you could be actually nosediving straight to the ground. So I asked my brother, what do pilots then trust? And he says, pilots trust their instruments, because instruments never lie. And the number one mistake, and we make two of them, the number one mistake that we make is we trust our feelings. We've discussed this many, many times on the show, because if you trust your feelings, you will naturally gaslight yourself, because your feelings will lie to you. And the number two mistake that we make is we trust broken instruments. If you trust broken instruments, you will be gaslit too. So imagine this scenario. Imagine I have a fight with my wife and I lean on my best friend for advice, but this best friend has been divorced 6 times, cheated on every single one of his partners, and he's loving single life. He's naturally going to gaslight me. So it doesn't make him a bad person. It just makes him the wrong instrument for this kind of job. So I'm not going to go for a run now and lean on my thermometer to tell me how fast I'm running. The thermometer is not broken, but it is the wrong instrument. So when you ask me, how did these celebrities, and that goes for everybody from, you know, the normal us to these celebrities, is we all need to be calibrated, but choose your instruments wisely. If you surround yourself with people that always tell you you are right, you are good, you are wonderful, you're amazing, you are naturally going to crash. Because imagine flying a plane that always tells you you're flying great. You know, it's like the emperor's new clothes. You know, if everybody's telling you that you always are great, you will end up crashing. So the best way to calibrate yourself is ask yourself, am I surrounded with the correct calibrated instruments? Am I surrounded with people who are honest with me and who will tell me the truth? Because those are the people that are going to calibrate you. Whether you're a celebrity or it doesn't matter, whether you're mortal us, surround yourself with people who are honest, who are naturally going to give you the reliable and valid advice that you need.
It's hard to find those people, and it's hard to keep going like that, because once you decide that you're friends and you really love each other and you start saying nice things about each other and you mean it, eventually you do shy away from giving people the honest feedback that they need. And sometimes that feedback is going to hurt. Sometimes it can impact very badly on the friendship. But those are the real friends that you actually need.
Definitely. Definitely. And I'm not saying have, you know, friendships can be different things for different people. So I have my tennis friend and I've got my let's go out and talk rubbish friend. And I just want my tennis friend to be honest with me with tennis. And I want my let's go out friend and talk business to be honest with me with that. So I don't need, you know, one friend for everything, but I need in those departments and those environments, I always choose to have honest friends compared to nice friends. You remember, my feelings are irrelevant. I just want to be guided by the correct instruments. If I'm in the forest and I want to, and I need to get out, I don't care about the nice map. I want an accurate map. I don't care about the nice compass. I want an accurate compass, irrespective of what I feel, because I would rather have an honest person that leads me out of my troubles, that leads me out of the forest, than have a nice friend that keeps me stuck and gaslit.
Yeah. Hard to find. You gotta hope you've got those people in your life, and you better hope that they are honest with you, because you can also, it can take you a long time to figure out who your real friends are.
Definitely. But there is a way to figure it out, and you need to be guided by the results. If you feel that you are getting the results, that means you've been guided accurately. And if you're not getting to from point A to point B, then you're being misguided. So ask yourself, and we go back to many, many shows ago when I said, you know, the goal becomes the God. What do you want out of life? and ask yourself whether you have the right people to get you to the goal. And if you're getting to the goal, then you're surrounded by the right instruments. And if you're not getting to the goal, then you need to maybe reassess.
Instruments, yeah. Change those instruments. Carl DeSantos says, I know why you don't rely on your tennis friend for advice. It's always back and forth with him. All right. Thank you, Doc. Good to see you.
Okay, guys. Nice to see you.
Good week. See Cheers. You. Dr. Hanan Bushkin. Very good. All right. Ass, are we ready for our next hour? Are you pumped? Are you ready to go?
Yep. Ready to go. I'd love like a chocolate smoothie or something right now. Do you think we can whip one up?
Yeah, sure. Go and look in the kitchen. See what you can find.
Sure. Oh, while you're not here, I'll just raid your kitchen.
Raid the cupboard. Just quickly, Deirdre, this is funny. Deirdre says, my mom knows more about Caroline and Bobby van Jaarsveld than she knows about me or cares. I just can't take it personally. Okay. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. We'll be back in a second. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com. It is Monday morning, and we have loads of good stuff still to come.